The King is coming. That's a sign that relief is on its way. The King is coming. That's what we live for. That's what we breathe for. That's the reason the King is coming. Again, it's good to see the people of God in the house of God. The energy so far is evidence that the Holy Spirit is here with us. And I give God thanks for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because somewhere Paul tells us that, just paraphrasing, then probably we would just be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I know he spoke of love, but if we worship without the presence of the Holy Spirit, then we are just that empty. And we're happy that he's here with us today. Let us bow our heads as we pray. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. And now, dear God, as we speak in regards to your Son and what your Son would want to do in our lives, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of my heart and the worshiper's heart will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like you to stand with me just one probably last time before you do the benediction as we read the scriptural text. It comes to us from Mark chapter 1, and I'd like to start at verse 15. Are we at verse 15? All right, I'll read verse 15 until I catch up with the screen. It says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." May the Lord grant us understanding and application to the reading of his word. You may be seated. The Church of the Oranges have embarked upon a noble program, a program to involve every single member of the church so that they can be an instrument used by the Holy Spirit to enlarge God's kingdom of grace. God is very much interested in every single individual who are present here today. As much as corporately we are important, nevertheless, as individuals, God sees us as such. And being that individual, we have a responsibility to enable the Holy Spirit by opening our heart's door so that he can use us to fulfill the purpose that he has called us here for. Now let me see the hand of anyone who has ever almost drowned. I thought I was by myself. While those who have gone through that experience, you know what hopelessness is all about. Because there's nothing in the water that you can hold on to. And you're grappling for something real tangible to hold on to. And I do not know if I came up two times or three times or whatever time I came up, but I'm thankful that there was someone by the name of a lifeguard who was sitting at his post, and he saw that this guy was in difficulty in the deep end of the water, 15 feet. I almost said farewell to the world. Just in that minute, I felt someone holding me and bringing me to safe shore. And I said, God, thank you. Now, this world is referred to as a sea. It is referred to a sea of sin. And there are individuals like me or you who once were in this sea of sin, sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deeply, stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. And no wonder sometimes my greatest passion is really to assist in the salvation of others. Because Jesus came here and he experienced all the feelings of our infirmities. And so when we pray to him, he understands. And if you have been rescued from the sea of sin, then it's only reasonable that you go back and rescue someone who is calling out for help even this morning. The church is currently in its 40 days of prayer and fasting. And I do hope that this is just not a yearly exercise, but really an exercise where we can empty ourselves of self and be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. As we look into the world today, somehow it looked dark and dismal. And all the commentaries that are being written seem not to give us much hope. But yes, I'm thankful that there is a God. Thomas Malthus, an economist, long time ago, when they had just discovered somewhat the laws of diminishing return, had made a dark prediction on the existence of mankind in this world. According to his logics, in diminishing return, the more you use something without replenishing it, then you're getting back a smaller return each time it is used. And at that time, land agriculture was the major means for which we would get our food supply. And so as you use the land year after year, if it usually produces 15 bushels of corn, then year after year it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then he recognized that population was multiplying exponentially, much faster than production was growing. And so his conclusion was, One day, very soon, mankind will be wiped off this earth because we are all going to starve. Well, I think, as some of his critics would say, he didn't know those times that there was fertilizer. And that men would have discovered other means so that production would increase. But here is my point. My point with that is, we may look from our vantage point, and we may see nothing to be happy about. But there is a person in the being of the Holy Spirit. He can make a wilderness into an oasis. Where no water is, from a rock, he can make rivers flow. When there is illness and diseases, he can speak healing. Where there is lukewarmness and lethargy and apathy and indolence, he can revive. He can bring motivation and he can bring energy. So you are at the right place because God wants to make each and every one of us fishers of men. I repeat, fishers of men. That may not seem to be a prestigious occupation. Because if you have studied for 5 years and for 13 years, who would just want to be a fisher of men? But somehow I understand that a garbage collector, which most people do not aspire to be, gets good pay. They have good insurance benefits. And they do a very important job. For some time, I cannot even bear the scent of my own kitchen. I have to take the garbage out and put it somewhere else. And I'm happy when I hear the truck coming down the road. I hurry and do away with it, and everything is good again. Being a fisher of man. So in Mark, Jesus had just completed his time in the wilderness. If you read the verse 14. And so the Bible says he was being what? Tempted of the devil. And even though the devil thought that he would have overpowered Jesus by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit, he was victorious. So Jesus, though weak physically, was strong spiritually. And even as you fast and as you pray, yes, you may feel weak physically. But Paul says, this outward tent that we have, though it is being decayed day after day, nevertheless, this spiritual part of us is growing more and more. And that is what we should be interested about. Not necessarily to lose the stomach, even though that is important, but more so that I'm growing in God's grace and in God's goodness, and I'm getting stronger and stronger every passing day. Because there is coming a time, brothers and sisters, when there will be not a church like this. All these nice singing that we're hearing, you will have to learn to sing by yourself. And if you have not developed the fortitude to stand alone with your God, then when that shaking time comes, then you're going to be shaken. And so as Jesus left the wilderness, the Bible says he walked along the Sea of Galilee. And as he passed the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says Jesus was preaching. Yes, in verse 14, Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. If Jesus is our example, then we at the Church of the Oranges must do the same. not only on a Sabbath, but every moment of our lives. Preach the gospel at our home by the life that we live. Those who are not yet converted to Jesus should see in me and in you the God that we serve and is anxious and eager to know our God. Preach the gospel on your job. How many of us, if we should call the job, and if you ask, do you know someone by the name of Devon Gross? Does he behave as a Christian on the job? You know, sometimes I do interviews, so one of my questions that I ask the interviewee is this. If I were to call your supervisor right now, what would your supervisor tell me about you? Well, you know, everybody had a good answer for that one. But if we were to call your place of employment, the place that you hang out most, would it be said that you are a fisher of men? And so Jesus says as he passed by, the time is fulfilled, meaning the time is now. The time is now, brothers and sisters, because 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2 says, now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. Church alone will not save you and me. It is our responsibility when Jesus calls us and we come to him that we go and bring others to Jesus. There are about 300 members and friends so far who have signed up. Amen. 300 so far who have signed up to be committed and give themselves to the Holy Spirit to be used, that they will be the conduit through which God would bring that one soul. Amen. Isn't that lovely? Amen. If you are such a person, I am going to encourage you not to be weary in well-doing. This is just January, and we have 11 more months. And as the days get older, then usually sometimes the motivation wanes and the interest is not there anymore. But I'm going to encourage you, Church of the Oranges, we can do something miraculous here through the help of the Holy Spirit. There can be another church as large as this company this morning if each of us give our all and our life to Jesus. Is this an impossible task? Because our God is able. He is able, isn't he? He is able. The time is fulfilled. The time is now. The time is what? Once upon a time, I was, you know, in my office and somebody called me and they said they wanted a job. Badly wanted a job. And it was a Sunday. You know, who does interview on a Sunday? But she called on a Sunday. She needed the job so badly that she was willing to come over on the Sunday for an interview. As she came over on the Sunday, I interviewed her and she got the job. You know what? To me, it tells me that she needed a job. And I didn't just give her the job because she needed the job. She had some other things that, you know, came along with her. But she needed it. She did not wait until Monday or Tuesday. She did it right now. What is God saying to you in your heart as you listen to his word this morning? Is there something that he's asking you to do that you're trying to put off for tomorrow? Well, Jesus is saying today, Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. The kingdom of God, 1 Timothy 3 verse 1 says, in the last days, perilous times will come. Do you see anything on the horizon like that? Do you think it's far from us? Do you think all the pieces are being put in place that there will be no doubt that perilous times are here? And so, as believers in Christ, it does tell us that our time is short. We are worshiping now unmolested, are we? Now, there are other individuals in other places where you have ISIS that cannot worship as openly as we are doing. Are we seizing the opportunity to share with someone? Now, let's bring it home a little closer. If you have a husband who is not yet a Christian, are you praying for that person? Are you really on your knees for that person? Are you asking God, God, please give me this person? Let him give you his heart and his soul, God, please. Just as when I need water. Have you ever been thirsty? Well, once upon a time in my life, we did not have water where we lived, you know. So we had to go far to fetch water. And so when we go to the cow pasture, you know that we have to fight with the cow to drink the water first. Because there were some long-legged things in the water with some huge head. And we are so thirsty, we have to be just putting them aside and make sure we drink that water, because when that sun, that tropical sun, bears down on you and dehydrates you, you don't care if cow drink the water, if goat drink the water, you have to get something in your stomach. That's how desperation. I remembered we were going up to the Blue Mountain, and there was one last point where there was a public water supply. And we were so thirsty that when we turned the water on, it was lukewarm. The Bible talks about lukewarm. Oh, man. Although it had no taste, boy, we still had to drink it. Because it was almost like to a boiling point in the pipe. But because we were so thirsty, we still had to drink it. I'm just talking about when you're desperate for something. And unless we get to the place where we are desperate for the Holy Spirit, the servant of the Lord says we must talk about the Holy Spirit. We must sing about the Holy Spirit. We must dream about the Holy Spirit. We must desire the Holy Spirit. And when God sees that, yes, we really need the Holy Spirit, then he'll give the Holy Spirit unto us. It's not going to come. Look what Jesus did. He had to go into a wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. You're lucky that we're drinking fruit, you know, and whatever else, vegetable, right? And something else. And I can imagine, as a celestial being, Satan knew how to cook. And even though probably there was no, fire, but I can imagine that how he probably said it to the Lord that was not recorded in the Bible was very appetizing and make him salivate. But still he said no, he had a focus. Right? He had a focus. And so, then God preached the gospel of the kingdom. And he said, you should believe the gospel of the kingdom. Now, I understand that there are two type of men. When I say men and women, there's a theory called economic man. Economic man is the guy who just look out for himself. So even if he has a shop, he didn't really set up the shop to help the community. He set up the shop to benefit himself. But the secondary benefit is that, well, you know, the community gets some product, right? They say he's rational and he's self-interested, the economic man. And then you have the social man. I know there are some people who they join a particular church because it had a better cemetery than the next church. So when they die, they do not want to be buried down there. They want to be buried over here. You'd be surprised why sometimes individuals are a part of an organization. You would be surprised. And we must never take it for granted that all of us are here for the same reason. Although we hope that we were here for the same reason. But the reason why God has this church is to bring others to Him, just as someone assisted us to come to Jesus. So listen, in verse 18 or 17, the Bible says, I am going to make you fishers of men. Now, so, if I were to ask you, are you a Christian? How many would put your hand up? All right, very few. Mm-hmm. Interesting, right? If I were to ask you if you are a fisher of men, how many would put your hand up? All right. So hear what Jesus says. You know, the preacher this morning says it is impossible for God to lie, right? Romans 2 and verse 4. It is impossible for God to lie. God said, when you come after me, what is he going to make you? So let's do the reasoning. When you come to Jesus, he's going to make you into a fisherman, right? If you're not a fisherman, are you getting it? So we need to re-examine if we really have the right qualification for the job. Now let me say that again. Jesus says, when you come after me, I didn't see where he says I'm going to make you a Christian. Right? I didn't see that. I didn't see that at all. But he definitely said, when you come after me, I will what? Make you. What do they call it? Inductive or deductive reasoning? So if I am not a fisherman, it suggests on the truth of the word of God that God cannot lie, that if I'm not a fisherman, I have not yet come to Jesus. I may have come to the church, but Jesus is still waiting for me to come to him. Because when I come to him, he gives me a name change. He gives me a job description. And he says, your new profession is. I know we are proud being a Seventh-day Adventist. But I stand to be corrected. I don't see that here. But I see when you come to Jesus, you will be a what? A fisherman. Now, Jesus said to the disciples, because they were fishermen, And he wanted to use the skills and the ability that they had catching fish to use that now transference of knowledge and apply it in a different field so that they can now save people. Wouldn't you like to be able to do that too? Since you have come to Jesus, or since you have been a part of the church for 1 year, for 2 years, for 3 years, for 10 years, have you ever led someone to Jesus? Well, you know, they say that the ship cannot sail on the wind of yesterday. It has to sail with the current wind. So if you did 100 souls last year, that is last year. The Bible says that you must be instant, in season, and out of season, which means 367 days for the year. Did I say 367? But this is serious stuff, right? Because these fishermen, Andrew and Simon, whom Jesus called, the Bible says straightway, which translated now immediately, there was no delay. At the very moment they were called, straightway, you hear, listen what it says. They drop their net. Listen, their net was their livelihood, you know. Their net was the stethoscope of the doctor. Their net was the hammer of the carpenter. Their net was the gun of the soldier. Right? They drop their net. Bear nothing. And what? Follow Jesus. Now what are you holding on to? Why we can't get the Holy Spirit to do what he has to do in our lives. And what is your net? You think it's too good? I know you have probably different grades and different types and it costs. But here is what these men were fishermen. And they dropped the very thing that was making sure that their well-being and their welfare was taken care of. And they believed in Jesus so much. This is faith. They believed in Jesus so much that they dropped it and they followed Jesus. What are you willing to do without? In fact, you know, when you come to Jesus, Jesus says you have to be born again. And I think Jesus is so wise because when you're born again, what you come with? Nothing, right? You know, if Jesus did not put that clause, God is so good. I think if he did not put that clause in the Bible, then we would come with so many things, huh? But he says what? You have to be, that means you have to die and come with nothing. And when you come with nothing to Jesus, like a blank slate, he can now write what he wants on the pages of your life, of your heart. So even without saying a word, then others can see Jesus in you and they can come to glorify Jesus. So here's what happened. So Jesus had the disciples and they were gathered together and Peter said to the disciples, I'm going to fish in John 21. And the disciple says, we're coming with you. And the Bible said they stayed there all night and they did not catch one fish. Now, brothers and sisters, I must confess to you that sometimes it's a little disheartening and probably discouraging if probably you're working with someone for 10 years and you see like they're making no move. More so if you're working for 20 years and you see that they're making what? No move. More so if you're working for even 25 years. But listen,
keep on keeping on. Because when they catch nothing, they were in the school of Jesus to become fishermen. Had they caught something, they would have gone with the self-satisfaction that they know what to do. So Jesus made sure that they came up empty, so that when he gave them an instruction, then they would carry it out. And so Jesus came by the same moment. And Jesus said, "Children, do you have anything, any meat?" And they all said, "No." Fishermen, huh? Oh, 40 days of prayer. We are fasting and praying for our soul, God. Doesn't seem like it's going to work out, God. Doesn't seem like it's 40 days is almost finished, and I don't even see the first person that I'm, you know, planning to work with. But when Jesus comes, things changes. Amen. When Jesus comes, things changes. So Jesus said, "Do you have anything to eat?" They said, "No." Jesus said, "Cast your net on the right side." And when they followed the instruction of Jesus, you know what the Bible said? There was so much fish that the net was almost at the point of breaking, that they had to call for help. If you feel discouraged, keep on keeping on. When Jesus shows up, then he will multiply your disappointments into gain. Jesus will make your dark days brighter and brighter. God wants individuals to be saved. And I tell you this, we need to have that faith in God to believe him so much that when we ask things in his name, believe that he's going to give it. Let me quickly just tell you this story. There was a man that I know, and other people in this church know this man too. He was doing siding, Sister Velma. And he went onto the roof of the building and he fell from the building. And he was unconscious. They had to make some, right, intubate him, right? Make a trach so that he could live on a respirator. Are you with me? And there was a prayer and fasting that was called for this young man in New York. And I happened to attend the prayer and fasting service. And I think this is like many years ago, but I was so shocked when I heard the people of God started to pray. And here is one lady. I'll probably say it so that you understand it. "Father Jesus, we have come here this morning to pray for. We are not asking you, God, if this is your will, because we know that this is your will. And we look with anxious anticipation for the day when this brother will get off that hospital bed and get back on his roof." See, I was shocked. I said, "Wow, this is how people pray." Today, brothers and sisters, the brother is back on his roof. This is what we called faith prayer and answered prayer. God can do it through you, and he can do it through me. So, there are many individuals out there who needs to be saved. There are many individuals who are waiting just for you and just for me. Let's get up out of the church,
do God's business and ask Jesus to come to take his people home.
Happy Sabbath.